The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the wilderness, John proclaimed a baptism of repentance. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, Christ. As we stand, let us pray. Loving God, God of glory, may your glory shine in our lives, and may your word speak to our hearts. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down. To begin with, some words from our first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, where he says, "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." God says to his people, "Do not fear, I am with you." These people, says God, these people are the people created for my glory. I don't think we can remind ourselves too often that Jesus' ministry started with his baptism by John. Because this is a baptism in which we all share, all of us who are baptized. We share with Jesus in John's baptism. It's a baptism we have received. And his baptism by John is how Jesus' identity is revealed, how he is publicly recognized as God's Son in the Gospel accounts. In these stories of the baptism, God says in public, "You are my Son, you are my Beloved." God is saying of Jesus at his baptism, "This one is created for my glory." That Jesus was created for God's glory, that the Son of God was, as we say, begotten for God's glory, had been realized and said privately before in different ways. It had been said to Mary at the Annunciation when the angel says to her, in effect, "You are bearing God's glory." It had been recognized by Elizabeth, who we remember as John the Baptist's mother, when Mary then visited her. "Your child," she said to Mary, "is created for God's glory." Jesus' presence for God's glory had been recognized by the shepherds coming down off the hills into the town to see the baby in the manger. Jesus' presence for God's glory had been recognized by wise men from the east who saw a star and followed where it went. Simeon and Anna in the temple recognize the infant Jesus when 40 days old as the light of the nations and the glory of God's people Israel. That Jesus was born for God's glory was shown in the incident in the temple when he was 12 and he failed to join his parents for their return journey to Nazareth, but remained telling his elders and betters the secrets of their lives. But all of this, all of these different ways in which Jesus was realizing God's glory in his life and in which that glory was being recognized, none of it was at that stage in public. But now at his baptism, Jesus steps onto the public stage for the first time, and it is for this reason: to show that he is created and he is begotten for God's glory. So the question I want to ask this morning is, when we baptize, aren't we saying the same thing of the person who is being baptized? Aren't we saying, "This one is created for God's glory"? There are all sorts of ways in which when a baby is born, we recognize God's glory in their life. We can find God's glory in the love they elicit from us and the joy they bring to the lives of their family and in the way in which we see them grow and start to make sense of the world God has put us in to make sense of. Then we can find God's glory in the way they start to use words, the words which God's word enables us to make sense with, because it's God's wisdom that enables us to make sense of anything. But all of this is private, more or less. When we baptize a baby, we are saying in public for the first time, this one is created for God's glory. What an amazing thing for a baby to be told. Unfortunately, no baby remembers their baptism. But we should remember that it's essential to recognize the fact that humans from the beginnings, the very beginnings of their lives, to the very ends of their lives, are created for God's glory. And some are baptized later in life, as older children, as adults. Whenever we are baptized, it's a public affirmation. You, the person being baptized, is being told you are created for God's glory. It will be a favorite phrase for some of you. It's one I remember often. What Irenaeus of Lyon said in the second century, the glory of God is a human being fully alive, or the glory of God is a living person. Baptism is how we affirm in public what we believe God to have shown us, that human beings are created for God's glory and that they are made in his image. And whether we realize it or not, we love this idea so much that we keep on saying it. We say it when we admit youngsters to communion, and we say it at confirmation. These are ways we find to repeat our claim that they are created for God's glory. This reminds us that confirmation isn't a gateway rite, but a rite of affirmation and a rite of recognition. It affirms and it recognizes that someone's life is taking a more definitive shape, becoming more clearly its own thing. And that this person is a more independent person, more able to make their own commitments. For this reason, it also makes sense for us to admit youngsters to communion without confirming them just yet, as another way of recognizing God's glory in their lives and helping them to realize for themselves that they are created for God's glory. But baptism too, though obviously it does proclaim membership of the church, isn't a gateway rite or a ceremony of admission so much as a ceremony of recognition. Baptism isn't about opening a door that's locked, but instead about welcoming somebody we already know through an open door. We are officially and publicly saying, this one is created in God's image for God's glory. We are saying, this one is a human being fully alive. This one, we are saying when we baptize someone, is loved by God and is called to live their life actively and intentionally to God's glory. And in a baptism service, we are promising to help them to do that. What an awesome thing for us to do, to recognize someone as being created for God's glory and to do this on God's behalf so that their life can be transformed by the love found in Jesus and the love shared through Jesus among us all. So as we remember this morning, Jesus' baptism, John's baptism of Jesus enables Jesus' recognition by God and by the people. It empowers him to do his work. It enables him to step onto the public stage and do his work. And then Jesus brings a further baptism with the Spirit given at Easter, a Spirit that enables his apostles, those present with him in the upper room on Easter day or on the mountainside 50 days later, that enables those apostles to recognize him for who he really is, God's glory newly revealed in the risen Lord. And we receive both baptisms, both water and Spirit. We share both these baptisms. And in that, we share in our own little way in the recognition which Jesus received from God as people called to live to God's glory and to do his work. Baptism is often one of the earliest ways in which someone's uniqueness is recognized and their uniqueness is made public. It's the start of a series of recognitions throughout a life, the start of the recognition of the distinctive ability and the calling that an individual has. We start by publicly saying in a baptism that this one was created to show God's glory. But we should remember to continue looking to see God's glory in them all their days. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we and Christians around the world remembered more often than we perhaps do to recognize the creation of our sisters and brothers of other traditions and churches for God's glory? Wouldn't it be wonderful if Christians of different traditions and different points of view remembered more often that the shining of God's glory in a human being is publicly proclaimed whenever they are baptized and recognized in them for the whole of their lives? And that being created for God's glory remains true of each person for all their days. Amen.